Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Soul in the City. This is Linda Motley Muhammad, your host of Soul in the City, and we're so glad to have everybody here. We are going to have an interesting show today, talking about being a Christian entrepreneur. The guest call-in number is 760-695-1120, and I'm going to say that again, 760-695-1120. We want you to sit back, relax, and have call a friend to tell them to call in and invite others to listen. We're going to start off the show with a little music, and then I'm going to come back to our guest, Crystal Boone, attorney at law. So let's listen to some music. Okay, that was Everyday People, and that's what Soul in the City is all about, being everyday people doing extraordinary things. Today, as I stated earlier, we're going to be talking about Christian entrepreneurship with attorney Crystal Boone at law. The guest call-in number, again, is 760-695-1120. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we are excited that you would accept our invitation, and we are ready and willing to learn, and we have quite a few people listening in. Thank God for that.
Great.
So I'm just going to kind of tell you, told me earlier you had some good scriptures to kind of set the tone of the show. I'm going to let you start by talking about the scriptures and a little bit about you, if you don't mind.
Great. I'll just start by introducing myself. As Linda, the host, said, my name is Crystal Boone. I am an attorney. I have a law practice that I operate out of in Brentwood, Tennessee. I practice in the areas of business law, nonprofit law, and estate planning. I've been a business owner for about 4 years now, and about half of my practice is deals directly with small business owners and assisting them in starting up their businesses, forming entities, consulting them through that startup process, drafting contracts, and sometimes trying to get them out of some bad business deal. So I kind of what I do on a daily basis, working with business owners, and I also am an adjunct professor at Belmont, where I also get to teach undergraduates about business law. So it's something near and dear to my heart, and the great thing about what I do and me being a business owner is that I'm able to relate with people that are starting businesses. I've been there. I've done that. I understand the challenges as well as the rewards of having your own business. And on that note, I would like to share with you all some scriptures that the Lord has given me that I kind of draw upon, go back to, and I kind of keep at the forefront of my mind. The first one being, if I can say this name correctly, Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. And I have this written down in my journal. I'm not quite sure what translation this is, but it says, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets, so one may easily read it, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. So it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. It's so important to have a vision, and certainly as a Christian entrepreneur, I would think that God has given you some vision for your business. It's important to have vision, to move forward with vision, and to write it down. And I'll talk about some of that a little bit later. Another scripture, Proverbs 28 and 20, a faithful man will have many blessings, but one in a hurry to get rich will not go unpunished. You know, being a Christian entrepreneur, we're entrusted with this business. It comes with responsibilities, and it's not just about making money. That can't be your primary goal, but it's about operating in excellence in whatever you do for the glory of God. Proverbs 10 and 22, the Lord's blessing enriches, and he adds no trouble to it. In Psalms 127 and 1, unless the Lord builds a house, its builder labors over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. So, you know, again, the importance of having the Lord be involved in every part of your business venture from beginning to end so that you can have his blessing over it.
Well, those are really good scriptures to base our program off of. And I'm kind of going to go back to the beginning and kind of go through the questions of even what is a Christian entrepreneur. Can you kind of tell us about that and what you think about that?
Yeah, I have a definition of entrepreneur, and this is from dictionary.com, and this is the cultural dictionary definition, and I picked this because this is what we commonly think of when we use the word entrepreneur, but it's one who starts a business or other venture that promises economic gain but also entails risk. So you take that basis of that definition of entrepreneur and just add Christian to it. And so, you know, a Christian entrepreneur is an entrepreneur that is a Christian first. And as a Christian, though, there's that expectation or certainly the mandate that we should run our businesses consistent with Christian godly principles.
Right.
So that's what I would say becomes a Christian entrepreneur, is that person that is implementing and operating out of those godly principles, even in their business. And what does that look like? That means operating in fairness, integrity, honesty, excellence, using even spiritual discernment in making decisions that may not make sense in the natural, but if God is leading you in a particular direction, you are willing to follow. And a Christian can exercise all these, you know, principles I just named and still make money. They aren't contradictory to making money, to operating a profitable business. If anything, I think it makes you a better business owner, a better employer, a better person to work with.
Basically, it sets the tone for your business, it sounds like. So going on to the next question is, what do you think are the essentials of having your own business? Like, and a lot of those you just listed about the integrity and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's essentials in terms of characteristics, and there's essentials in terms of just some practical steps that you have to or should go through when you have a business. In terms of the steps, you know, as I mentioned, that first scripture I read about writing down the vision, it started with a business plan. That's where, you know, you take that vision and you start with a business plan. And, you know, nobody really wants to write a business plan. It's a tedious process. It's not a lot of fun. Like I said, I've been there, done that a couple of times. And so, but it's really helpful. And what it does is that it forces you to think specifically about your vision, really clarify that, okay, what is it that I want? What am I doing? How am I going to get there? And it also causes you to do your homework about your specific area of business. I mean, you've got to research, you know, your industry. You've got to know about your skills, if you have the skills necessary to be successful in this area of business. What other professionals, if any, do you need to help you with your business? And it helps you to also think about your strengths and weaknesses and to deal with those things on the front end, because you want to the extent you can, you want to deal with possible issues, which that happens, but you want to try to deal with that stuff on the front end as much as possible rather than being reactive. You want to be proactive rather than reactive, trying to deal with it after the fact. So a business plan is a great place to start. And again, it also causes you to think about, you know, what is going to characterize me and my business? Am I going to be characterized by being a business that, you know, operates with integrity and fairness and excellence? A business plan will help you to think about that as well. Going to the Christian entrepreneur thing, my feeling about that is that you don't have to have Christian Jesus plastered, you know, all over your business for people to know that you're a Christian or people to even recognize that. And so in your business plan, though, you can also, that causes you to think about to what extent is that going to be you as a Christian? How is that, to what extent is that going to influence your business, how you operate your business, who you do business with? And so that's certainly a place to think about all that. A business plan is a good starting place. Then you need to think about putting together a professional team. You need help. Starting a business is a lot of work, challenge, and it's really, you can certainly do it on your own, but I encourage people to seek out professional help so that they can avoid certain mistakes and pitfalls. And when you seek out professionals, you're able to take advantage of their experience and expertise. When I say professionals, I talk about somebody like me, a business attorney. If you can't hire a business attorney, pay for an hour of their time to do a consultation. Come prepared with questions about your business. Get as much as you can during that time. You have to have an accountant. Unless you're somebody that you know how to do your taxes. I don't know how to do taxes, so... but, you know, get an accountant on board, possibly a financial advisor, possibly a business consultant, depending on your resources and the type of business that you're doing. If you're entering into a big business venture where you're going to have to take out, you know, a loan and financing, you know, you want to do it well, and you may need some a business consultant or coach to help you through the process. So think about your team as well as mentors, people that are in your profession doing or in your business, area of business, doing what you're doing and operating in a way that you admire and respect. Seek them out for mentorship. I have mentors in my profession, lawyers that I know I can call on for their expertise. But you want to have those mentors, and that doesn't cost you anything. I mean, that may cost you buying them a lunch or a cup of coffee and their time. So there are things you can do, because I understand that resources may be limited for new businesses, but you still want to seek out that professional help, seek out those mentors, put that team together of people that are going to help you succeed. That catch your vision and are going to support you in that. So business plan, having your team of advisors, you know, being skilled in whatever area you're going into, making sure you have the specific qualifications and licensing to do what it is that you want to do. I'm trying to think, is there anything else I'm missing? I mean, there's steps to starting your business. I don't know if you want me to go through all the steps, but, you know, starting with a business plan.
Business plan is the biggest thing, and then to seek counsel is a great thing. And Crystal has done some great workshops at our church, and I think we're going to be doing some next year, so this is a good time that you can be listening in on this show, because the workshops are excellent. I've gone to them myself, and you learn a lot. We're just giving you a snapshot of what to do to be professional and to work on being the entrepreneur that that we need, the businesses that come out. And that kind of leads me to the next question. With the state of today's economy and unemployment being so high, do you feel that owning and operating and starting your own business may be an option for a lot of people with finding jobs and everything being so difficult in today's society?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, over the past couple of years, I've seen that happen. I've seen clients come to me that were laid off from their job, and they may have been they had something that they were doing on the side, and now that they're laid off, now they're looking to do that thing full-time on their own. And so absolutely it's an option. And another example, you know, the legal profession has been hit by the economy as well, and I really feel for those coming out of law school at this time, because it's very difficult to find a job. But what I tell those coming out of law school, I'm always willing to mentor somebody, but whoever comes to me, what I tell them is that they have the skills, they have the knowledge, they have the know-how to actually practice on their own. They don't have to be employed anywhere to practice law. As long as you have a license, as scary as that may seem, but they have the knowledge, they have the ability do it themselves. And so there are, you know, the legal profession, that's one example, but, I mean, there are plenty of people that have skills that they've learned on their job or maybe learned just maybe through some hobby, and they can take those skills and turn that into a job and become either start a business or just be self-employed, contract out their services, do consulting. I mean, there are options, and so people, you know, I encourage, you know, you all out there, if you're in that situation, to kind of think about, what do I know how to do? You know, what can I do? How can I, you know, make money doing it? And you'd be so, I mean, surprised. I mean, there's people that make money just being someone's assistant, running errands. You know, there are people that know about web development and then start doing that on the side and turn that into a profession. You know, there's so many things that we're able to do we don't even realize until we're, you know, in a situation where we have to do something else. But absolutely it's an option. And I think that those who are able to survive this current situation, I think after it there's going to be many, many entrepreneurs that will have been birthed out of this current economic situation. And hopefully, if those that can survive, I think it will actually help the economy later on.
Right, and basically, a lot that goes to the next question about what do you need to be an entrepreneur, and it sounds like creativity and seeing what's out there that there is a need. You want to kind of expound on that a little bit more?
Yes, and you know, I see that entrepreneurs, those individuals that are willing to kind of step out there tend to be, you know, risk takers, and you may be a risk taker on your own or by circumstance. You may have to, you know, put yourself out there, but you certainly have to be willing to take risks. But, you know, those who great, you know, risk greater the reward. Certainly that's one quality. Self-determination, you have to be self-determined. No one's going to do it for you. When you are a business owner and it's your business, it falls on you. And even if you have employees or other people that you work with, if something happens, they get sick, they don't get the job done, it all falls on you and you have to do it. So you have to be determined, of course, a hard worker, self-motivated, disciplined, outgoing, likable. You know, again, if you are your business, and I'm thinking about the small business owner, and let's say you have a consulting-based business, you've got to be able to get out there and meet people, and not only meet people, people have to like you, right? Because if they don't like you, they're not going to want to do business with you. They're not going to want to refer you. So you have to be likable and outgoing, and I say motivated in the sense that you don't have an employer telling you that you have to do this and be here and do that. You have to motivate your own self, and you have to set your own schedule. And so I believe that's a challenge for a lot of people who come out of a background of being an employee. That's really a transition to then have to kind of regulate your own time and motivate yourself to do the things that you have to do to further your business when there's nobody watching or telling you what to do. So you certainly have to have that, and, of course, be disciplined and be willing to work hard and do your homework. So, yeah.
Those are good qualities, and those are great things for a startup. And then I think it's also important to be able to have, we talked about this in the workshop, about branding yourself and advertising and getting yourself out there. Do you have any suggestions about that?
Yeah, you have to be able to sell yourself, right? If you're your business, and getting back to the being outgoing and likable, you have to sell yourself and sell your services. And this is if you have a service-based business. Now, if you have a product-based business or you're operating retail or a restaurant, even then, you're still the owner and you're still responsible for drawing business, getting business. And so, again, people have to like you. And the thing to think about when you're branding, you know, this goes back to in the business plan, you're thinking about, okay, what image do I want to project? What message do I want to convey to the public? And when you think about your message, then you'll want your physical appearance to be consistent with that. You're going to want your written appearance, your anything in print to be consistent with that. You know, so you want to think about your business cards and your website and anything, any brochures or anything that you give out to the public. You want that to be consistent with your message. And I'll take the example of, excuse me, going back to the accountant. You know, if an accountant is out there and they have their own firm, accounting firm, they're expected to present themselves consistent with the profession. Now, I'm not saying that they have to be stuffy, if that's not their personality, but they do still have to present themselves professionally, right? You know, if I'm going to my accountant and going to choose an accountant, I'm going to expect them to not be dressed like they just came from the gym.
Right.
And so you want to think about that, you know, a clean, neat appearance. That's part of branding. That's part of if you represent your business, how you present yourself physically is part of that branding. Also, business cards. I'm particular about business cards. You certainly want to have a business card. Now, if you can't afford to hire a designer to design you a special logo, that's fine. At least just have a neat business card, something that's just neat, clean, uncluttered, simple business card, and get it printed somewhere. I don't recommend printing it at home on your printer. Vistaprint, I think I used them when I first started out. I mean, you could get cards for really cheap on Vistaprint. So there are options, but just really keep it simple. When you're just starting out, you don't have a lot of resources. When you're thinking about your advertising and your branding yourself, really just keep it simple. And if you haven't gotten to the point where you've really created a look, a logo, done the research, invested in that yet, then really just keep it simple. Don't try to do anything. Just have something that's plain and simple until you can later invest in a certain logo and color scheme and really get into the marketing, branding of your business. But until then, just keep it simple. But branding is a very important part. It's, you know, it's part of that selling yourself, selling your business. And, you know, that's something to keep in mind, particularly if you're in a service-based business like myself. You never know when you're going to come across a possible client or a possible referral. You can get clients and referrals from anywhere and everywhere. And so that's something to think about. You just anytime you're out in public, it's just something to be aware of.
And that it's so funny that you say that you have to be aware even of when you're out and about and how you present yourself from everyday life or whatever. Because there's a joke on a radio station that I listen to, and they talk about some people do business and some people do business. And basically the people who do the business, they not really presenting themselves in a way of excellence and that kind of thing. So some of the things you talked about kind of hit on that, about, you know, knowing your industry, presenting yourself in a very professional manner, and because the next thing I was going to ask about, What are some of the professional touches? And you kind of talked that about your business card, even about, you know, how the phone is answered and all. Do you have any more suggestions on that?
Yeah, you know, in terms of professionalism, maintaining that professionalism, you know, I believe in that. I when I started out, I came out of a firm environment, which is a very professional environment, and I learned a lot being in that environment. And so I took that into my own practice. But, you know, there's certainly things at minimum that you want to do. You want to be polite, return calls, you know, and you can set your standard or the expectation. I try to return calls within 24 hours. You may be 48 hours or whatever, but set that expectation and maintain, you know, live up to that. Something as simple as returning a call, I mean, you wouldn't think it's a big deal, but there are so many people that don't respond to calls or emails. So if you can just be timely in responding to clients and potential clients and customers, that will go a long way in setting you apart from your competition. You know, also being diligent, being responsible, taking responsibility, really, I'd say catering to the customer, your client, hearing them. If there's a disagreement about something, settling that quickly and in a fair way. And sometimes that may mean giving them the service for free or at a discounted rate, but it's better that you walk away with a satisfied client than an unsatisfied client, because that unsatisfied client will talk a lot more than the satisfied client, and that can really really hurt you. But, yeah, and so professionalism, you want that in terms of part of your brand, but it's also just in terms of how you handle your business, because what's going to happen is that actually you'll learn that and see that your clients, I mean, they're your best advertisement, a satisfied client, because they will tell somebody else, and people will rely on a referral, right, before they rely on a personal referral rather than, you know, before they rely on just some advertisement they see somewhere in the newspaper. And so if you can have a happy, satisfied client that will be able to tell other people, you know, they took really good care of me, they were professional, they did a great job. Because that's the other thing. You can be professional, but you also have to be able to back it up too, right, in terms of your work quality and your timeliness. So put forth your effort in the professionalism and the branding and your message, and also follow through with that. You absolutely have to follow through with that. Again, because you do not want to get the reputation as somebody that comes up short.
Definitely not.
I don't know if that answers your question.
That did answer the question, and then I just kind of wanted to touch on the financial aspects of having, operating. I know you can't give a lot, but maybe some financial tips on maybe I'm kind of gearing to startups. I'm really trying to encourage people to consider with everything going on in society that if you're creative, that if things are coming that way, that you can start your own business and that is doable for us. So maybe some financial tips for someone who is thinking about it. What would you suggest they start at?
Yeah, you know, that's always the question, right? What about the money? And, yes, I encourage people as well, do not let that, the lack of money, get in the way of pursuing your vision, pursuing a business that you are interested in. You can start a business without much of any money. The easiest way to start a business is as a sole proprietor, and that's basically just you are the business and you start doing the business. Now, you have to look at the requirements for your state and county, and you've got to have a business license and what other filings may be required, and certain professions have certain things, licensing requirements as well. But, you know, sole proprietor, that's the pretty much the most popular form of a business organization to how, or operation, how someone may operate their business. I recommend that you consult with a legal, with a lawyer in terms of if that will be okay with you, with the type of business you're doing, because certainly some type of businesses, for liability reasons, you certainly don't want to, you may not want to operate as a sole proprietor. But for a lot of people, a sole proprietor may be sufficient, and that's just you starting your business, getting a business license, and you know, doing what you do. That doesn't take much. It doesn't cost much to get a business card and really kind of just going from there. You know, and what comes to mind, particular types of businesses that are easy to start that way, particularly like consulting, some type of consulting business. That's easy enough to do. Just kind of start. You're the business. Get a business card. Get out there and start telling people what you do. That doesn't cost anything to tell people what it is that you do. Pass out business cards. Attend as many events as you can, luncheons, coffee meetings, everywhere you go, word of mouth. My practice is primarily based on word of mouth, and you'd be surprised how effective this word of mouth advertising can be. And so, that doesn't cost anything to just go out and tell people about what it is that you're doing. One thing to keep in mind, though, as you're starting up, you've heard of people say your elevator speech, right? You got a minute with somebody, be able to say in 30 seconds, you know, be able to give your spiel and let somebody know what it is that you do and what you're looking for, what kind of referrals, what kind of business are you looking for. So already have that prepared. Again, this doesn't cost you anything. You know, the Internet, there's so much information available on the Internet. SBA, Small Business Administration website, is a great resource in terms of learning about different, learning about business in general and in different industries. But educate yourself. That doesn't cost anything. If you don't have Internet at home, go to the library, read some books. There's so many things you can do that don't cost anything. And so it's absolutely doable. And like I said, the mentoring, it doesn't cost anything to get a mentor. All you have to do is ask. And most people are happy to sit down and talk about themselves. So, so again, just ask. You see those people, can I have an hour of your time? I really admire what you're doing. You know, I want to hear more about it. That doesn't cost much. That doesn't cost much to do that.
Those are great suggestions, too.
Yeah.
And I, great. On the spiritual side, I'm sorry, like on the spiritual side, a lot of people have ministries. I guess that kind of goes into the 501(c), but what suggestions do you have for people who are starting ministries? Because a lot of people that listen to the show are ministers, that kind of thing, or hope to be, or that kind of thing, or they're doing spiritual things, but need to make that open and keep it legal. Do you have any suggestions for those kind of folks out there that are listening?
Yes. And so when you're operating on that level, that's different. So you're getting into nonprofit. And so we've been talking about for-profit, operating a for-profit business. That get in, and I think you're talking about nonprofits here, right? You mentioned the 501(c)(3).
Right.
So operating a nonprofit, you certainly want to see an attorney, without exception. And you're going to want to see an attorney in terms of actually forming the nonprofit entity. That's something that's done under state law. It's a legal process. You can't operate a nonprofit without it. You're not a nonprofit. And so you're just somebody doing volunteer work. If to start a nonprofit, you have to do file with the state. There are certain documents that need to be filed depending on what type of nonprofit entity you're going to operate under. So you want to see a lawyer about that. The 501c3, that's a tax designation that's available to certain types of nonprofits. And, again, your attorney and or your accountant can help with that actual tax, the application to receive that 501c3 status. But you have to be set up as a nonprofit first before you can apply to become a 501c3 organization. So there's the legal process of setting up the actual nonprofit. Then there's the process of getting that tax designation. And the way in which nonprofits are operated because they're a nonprofit is different, very different from a for-profit business. And that's something that when clients come in to see me and I have that initial talk with them, it's hard for those that are setting up the nonprofit, that founder, the person with the vision and the passion, right? It's hard for them to grasp that, this isn't mine. And with the way in which a nonprofit is structured and set up, no, that person founding it is, the whole point is to, it's supposed to be a community effort, and you have to have board members, and there's a certain process that has to be done that you have to include other people beyond yourself. And so that's something to think about if you are thinking about starting a nonprofit. It is a different from a for-profit business. There's different legal requirements according to the state, the laws of your state, and you have to get other people on board. And, you can, I encourage you to find people that share your vision. They're on board with the vision that you have, that hopefully God has given you, and that share that vision and want to support you in that vision. And so those are the kind of people that you want to look for. In Tennessee, you particularly have to have at least three board of directors, board members. But that's something to think about as you're starting a nonprofit. You've got to be more inclusive. And it's going to be a team effort. You certainly have that founding member with the vision, but you got to be ready to bring some other people aboard to help with the process. And also with the nonprofit, the challenge with nonprofit people starting nonprofits is that there is somewhat of an initial investment that you have to be prepared for, and whether that's you come out of pocket, which I see that a lot of times. Just that founding member just pays for all of this out of pocket, or you have the other people that support your vision that are really willing to chip in. But it is gonna cost more to start the nonprofit. You wouldn't think it would, but it actually costs more because you're gonna want to seek that legal advice so you do not get yourself in trouble, and you're gonna want to get that. I encourage my clients. I don't do the 501c3 application. It's very extensive. I have them work with an accountant to get that done. There are some attorneys that do it as well. But you have to pay for somebody to do that. I'd recommend you seek out a professional in that if you want to make sure you get it, to make sure it's done right. And so not to say it can't be done without professionals involved, but certainly, when you're dealing with a nonprofit, you want to get that professional advice to make sure that you're doing everything legally in the right way, in the best way.
Those are, once again, great tips and great advice. And the show is winding down. We have about 5 minutes left. Do you have any last-minute thoughts or suggestions you want to send out to the Soul in the City family?
I would say that being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, is an amazing journey. You really find out about yourself, kind of what you're made of, and really what it is that you want. It's a very rewarding experience, but at the same time, it's very challenging. And certainly, like I said, you know, you have to be prepared to work extremely hard and invest in your business. If you don't invest in your business, and when I say invest, I mean, you know, not only your time, but financially, you know, if you don't invest in your business, you can't expect anybody else to invest in your business. Also, as Christians, if you are a Christian, you know, I encourage you to pray for business wisdom, to seek out knowledge and understanding in all you do. You know, don't leave God out of the process. He wants to be involved. He certainly wants to get the glory out of everything we do. But I could not have done this without prayer. It's actually God that actually told me to leave my firm and start my own practice. That was his idea, not mine. It's actually ended up working out, of course. But don't leave him out of the process because he will not steer you wrong.
Right. That's so true and so important. We want to thank you for your wisdom and for your advice, for your encouragement to the Soul in the City listeners. And I just want to thank you for being a guest and put you on the spot and hope that we can have you back. Crystal is also a minister, and she is phenomenal. So maybe we can have you back again sometime soon.
I would love to be back. Thank you. And if I can put in a plug, please check out, if you are in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee area, check me out at www.kboonelaw.com. That's K-B-O-O-N-E law, L-A-W, .com. That's my firm page. Please check me out and email me or give me a call if you need some assistance.
And I'm going to put a plug in for her. She's helped me numerous times and got me on the right path. I couldn't have done a lot of things without her, and I'm so appreciative of that. And she is encouraging and not condemning. So please speak her if you're in the Nashville area and be looking for some more exciting things that Crystal will be doing. And thank you again for being our guest tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, so in the City, this is Linda. And this is Soul in the City, where we inspire you to go higher and higher in the spirit. Be blessed and good night. Thanks.